Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
For those of you who haven't noticed, Josh Foster will not be with us tonight. I will be officiating in his place. So the first order of business is the recognition of the state award winners that Mr. Kaczynski presented.
Hello. In my new position as the assistant athletic director, this is the best part, is where we get to recognize our great achievements of our athletes. Mr. Roberts is our softball coach, also Mr. Tazi. Mr. Roberts couldn't be here because he's also a basketball coach, and in order to get these great accolades as a coach, you never sleep. He's out filming and scouting a basketball game tonight for this week. So Mr. Tazi is going to present in this place.
Do you want me to come up?
Oh, yes.
I look like this every day. I just wanted to first say that I've had Kayla and Caroline in class for many years, and they are the epitome of what a student athlete is. I've had them both in 10 honors and AP 11 in Caroline in 9th grade. They are fantastic. They're dedicated and smart young women, and it's a pleasure to teach them. They're super dedicated. They show up for everything. And then after our 2014 season, where we were the Final Four and went upstate, we lost a lot of leadership positions for girls through graduation, and that was the biggest hole that we had. And both Kayla and Caroline stepped up as much as we could have expected, and even more vocal leaders and doing the right thing and just showing the team how we could achieve. And that led to us having a great season. Not only that, they're great community members and citizens. They're always cheerful and smiling and go to any softball clinic that we have. And that's commend them for that. And that comes from their family as well. So even before we get to any of the athletic accolades, they're just great individuals and great people and should be applauded for that. One of the things I always say about Kayla is that pound for pound, she's the strongest girl in the world. Right? At least say Long Island, Suffolk County. If you look at her when she gets up here, you wouldn't imagine that she's always in the league lead for home runs, and not only that, Suffolk County. And if we talk about one of the games that she had against Deer Park, a double-A school, under the lights at Stotsky Park, it was a tied game until Kayla took an inside fastball and put it over the fence for the home run for one of the biggest regular season games that we've ever had. And in the field, again, not being the biggest player on the field, she has to use her tenacity to play well. She plays third base, which is a scary position, especially in softball, because you're in the next to third base, then the big guy calls her in to guard against a bunt, and she just takes away 15 feet and moves that much closer to a batter. She leads by example, as I said, a vocal league leader, so it makes sense that she is an All-State player. All those things I said earlier also I can attribute to Caroline. She is a pleasure and a joy, and she's one of the smartest softball players we've had in Santa Maria's history, at least in the 15 years that Coach Roberts and I have been playing. If you ever look at her when she gets up to bat, she goes through a normal routine, she'll look at where the fielders are playing, and that'll influence where she wants to hit the ball. Not only that, her outfield play has been probably the best that, again, we've had in that time. She has a strong arm, she gets to everything, and you know when the ball's hit, she'll get there. And she's probably the fastest girl on the team. She really tries hard 100%, and that's why she's such a success and definitely an All-State player, which she probably will be again this year, hopefully. We expect big things from both of them, and I know they'll accept the challenge. Erin Green, who graduated, isn't here. She's at college, and she couldn't make it here. If you know Erin, she was a reluctant leader up until last year, and with Kayla and with Caroline, really provided the leadership that we needed to go as far as we did and have an undefeated regular season. Bar none, she was probably the best small school player, if not large school player, in Suffolk County. She was a pitcher and was frightening at bat, and it was a pleasure to watch her mature from a young girl who's maybe scared about pitching to be dominating, and she definitely deserves to sit well as well.
Andy, would you mind going into the picture? Thank you.
Hold on. It's a long day. I had to get dressed twice today.
This year we also had our girls soccer team make it to upstate. They were Long Island champs, and they were led by our very own Sarah Sullivan.
So this year, Megan Rickey was awarded All-State First Team. Megan shows outstanding leadership abilities. Her work ethic on the field is outstanding. Off the field, outstanding. She's a senior for her class. She goes above and beyond for them. Unfortunately, she is a senior graduating this year. But Megan will be going to St. Joe's in Connecticut, where she'll pursue special education. So, Megan.
They'll sit at a basketball game. I've seen Casey with textbooks. They'll be on a bus. She'll be at a tennis match sitting there. As soon as she's done, they're doing their work. They're epitome of what a student athlete is. So another round of applause.
Thank you very much. Yeah, outstanding. Amazing, some of the athletes we have here. The next section tonight is the update on the middle years program, the International Baccalaureate Middle Years Program. Ms. Bates, Ms. Horoshevsky, and Ms. Angolia.
We have one
addition,
Mr.
Bolton. Do you want us to come out and roll the board? Are we okay?
Yeah, come on, so we're doing a PowerPoint, so that would be great.
But if the kids don't want to stay, not all of them.
Oh, thank you.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. Since our last NYP update at our one of our October Board of Education meetings, the exploration for this program has been extremely, extremely active. We feel that it's really important to engage multiple perspectives from our entire learning community and to really get as much exposure to the program as possible in a variety of ways. So tonight we're going to share with you some specifics and details about middle years program visits to schools, middle years program orientation and professional development, and something that Ms. Bates and Ms. Horoshevsky have been working very diligently on is introducing it to all of the faculty members at our internal middle school faculty meetings. So with that, I'm going to let Ms. Bates give you some more specifics and details, and also Ms. Horoshevsky and Mr. Bolger will share some of their thoughts as well.
Good evening. I thought it was important on Board of Education that we start by just sharing with you the list of stakeholders, middle school faculty members, Board of Education member that participated in a visit or professional development or this year. Has or is scheduled to go, and you'll see what they participated in specifically. One of the pieces that makes NYP so unique, I think, is the commitment to ongoing and dynamic professional development. That's a key piece that we are very fond of in the program. Another piece that that we really, I guess, are looking forward to is the, or we feel is important, and so does IB, is the slow and steady kind of process. It's an ongoing process. We learned that when we went to Long Beach, that it's not a flip of a switch or one and done type of initiative. It's a continuous, ongoing, slow process done very purposefully and thoughtfully. Ms. Horchewski, our coordinator, is going to take you through the next few slides.
So thank you for having us again. And it's funny, last time we were here, we were getting ready to go to Boston. This time we're getting ready to go to Los Angeles on Friday. Really looking forward to it. Not the flight, but the actual experience. Anyway, but we wanted to go back and talk about Boston because it was really a great eye-opening orientation. Ms. Bates, myself, Mr. Turner, Mr. Clancy attended. The focus of the orientation was really just an overview of International Baccalaureate with breakout sessions geared towards the specific programs. We obviously went to the Middle Years Program breakout session. A couple of takeaways for me. Number one, we got to meet and network with other schools that are kind of in the same boat as us, considering NYP. Or the diploma program, or the primary years program. So we got to speak with them. The other thing is we got to meet with people who work for International Baccalaureate. Ms. Bates and I cornered the director of the Americas, I think right after the conference. We like ran up to him and started hammering him with questions. And I think that was why we
stopped here for coming home.
8 hours of
time. Maybe it was the extra hour we spent with the director
of the program. So, but it really invigorated us, and we got back. We had so many questions. A lot of things were answered, but a lot more questions came out of it. But during our breakout session, our leaders were the headmaster and the NYP coordinator for the Josiah Quincy Upper School. And one of my biggest takeaways from that was a lot of the myths about International Baccalaureate were dispelled. You know, usually people say, oh, International Baccalaureate, it's an elite school. It must be for the wealthy. It must be a private school. It must be a certain type of teacher, a certain type of student. Couldn't be more farthest from the truth. The Josiah Quincy Upper School is a school in Boston, Massachusetts, where they are running the diploma program, the middle years program, and they are a school with 100% free and reduced lunches. They are a school that currently at this moment does not have a gymnasium, so they have many fiscal and building challenges, but they are consistently a school that is rated in the top five schools by the Washington Post year after year. They are running a very, very successful program. I immediately emailed the coordinator, and we have an open invitation to go and visit them when we can. But we are also very busy doing a lot of other things here. One of the great things, if you can just go to the next slide, I'll talk about Long Beach quickly. I'm going to talk about Long Beach very quickly. I'm going to let my colleagues kind of do the speaking. We were very fortunate enough to go and visit Long Beach Middle School again, and they are a newly authorized NYP school, and it was an awesome experience. We toured the school. We went into classrooms. We watched classes in action, and for me as a classroom teacher, if I saw nine adults walk into my room with three administrators from my school, I might throw up in the corner. But these teachers did not miss a beat. These students did not miss a beat. They were so impressive and welcoming and gracious. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. We also got to kind of question the teachers, question the administrators, kind of, you know, ask the people in the trenches how NYP is impacting their school. And I think, for me, my favorite part of the day is when we talk to the students, and that was our proof right there, just talking to those students. And I said to one of the students, I wish I could videotape you and just bring it back, because it was an awesome experience. And I'm not going to talk too much, but I'm going to let my colleagues speak about it, but awesome.
No, it's okay. Go ahead. I'm Mr. Bolger, the 8th grade social studies teacher. This is my second time this year going to the Long Beach School. I went in June last year. When I first went in June, the first thing I took away from it was not much different than I feel like what the average middle school teacher does at Center Merchants. So I was a little confused what the program was. They kept talking about MYP, and I saw the teachers teaching the classroom. It didn't look that different. This time when I went back, there are two major things I took away from it. One was being a middle school. It gives an identity to the kids, and it focuses on character development. They give you 10 like learner traits that they want kids to focus on that will help them be like the best student they can be while being a good person. And for middle school, with you know that those middle years, I just feel like with the staff we talk about it, like that is such a huge thing for the school district to be actively focusing on as a unit. And that was one thing I was really impressed with. The second thing I was really impressed with is the curriculum, mostly because it was more, I didn't know what to expect. I expected to go in and almost to see like them to have lesson plans or like actual guidelines of how teachers are supposed to teach. And frankly, I've been teaching for 10 years. I know my strengths in teaching, and I'm not necessarily, I know some other teachers too, you know, we're a little skeptical when you see that. Like, this is how we want you to teach, because sometimes it's not to my strength, and I know who I am, and things like that. But it wasn't like that at all. Instead, what it did is it was, this is how we want you to assess the kids. This is kind of how we want you to talk with the kids prior to the lesson, prior to the assignments. Like, give expectations, hand rubrics out, go through the rubrics. And then it's really up to the teacher to create the lessons and the activities that you're then going to push on the kids and teach the kids with, leaving the freedom for the teacher to be the teacher in the classroom. That's when I kind of fell in love with the whole MYP thing, because then it's like, okay, the focus isn't on like how the teacher teaches so much as it's the communication between the teacher, the parent, and the student in what the expectations are. And then the teacher's free to present the lesson in the manner they want, and the kid knows what the standards are, knows where the rubric is. And you see the kids at Long Beach, you see them have the rubrics on the walls, you see them go through the rubrics in their groups. You see, we talk to the kids in the classroom. I would just go up to kids and say, you know, oh, what are you guys working on? They say, oh, we're doing this assignment, we're working on a project, you know, we're making a newspaper. And I'd be like, okay, well what do you have to do to get a good grade? And the kids would, without even looking at the rubric, would talk about, oh, this is what I'm trying to do. I didn't do this last time, and on the rubric it said that my organization was off. And the fact that the kids were able to talk about that, and that every teacher in the middle school at Long Beach was using similar rubrics, is why I think it would benefit our middle school.
One of the pieces that I hear Mr. Boulder speaking about is that common language across. That was a thread that we saw in Long Beach with the learner profile, which we're going to explain in detail. It's actually in your folders, the piece that Mr. Boulder is mentioning, the 10 characteristics. It's in your blue folder. But that was a piece that was very, the common language with the rubrics and also the learner profile, it was something that it wasn't just posted in one classroom or on the wall, it was everywhere. It was in their code of conduct, it was in the comments on their school report cards, it was in the rubrics, it was part of what they were living and breathing, the students as well as the faculty. You know, when we speak about rubrics or assessment, the focus wasn't so much on the grade, it was more about the learning process, and the rubrics were not used to grade. The students still received a regular grade as we would see a 0 to 100, but it was more used for feedback and for growth. And that's one piece that I really
Yeah, they loved. Wouldn't focus, the kids wouldn't focus on the number.
Right.
They would focus on what I did and what I have to do to improve, which I love.
Yeah,
and a lot of, like, the character traits, we already do that at Center Merchants. Like, I already do that. Teresa already does that in the classroom. It's that you don't feel like you're on an island anymore, you know? It's like the whole school's doing it. I mean, at one point in Long Beach, we saw a dean talking to a kid out in the hallway, and he was talking about, you know, being caring, which is one of the character traits. So he's disciplining the student. Obviously, there's going to probably be some type of consequence. But instead of being like, oh, you're getting detention, it was this character trait that we push in the classrooms with academic focus, we're now pushing with behavior, and it tied it all together. It seems really effective.
Yeah, just to echo what they're saying, you know, when you go into, I think, one of the most amazing experiences as an educator, you know, we spend so much time dedicated to our own schools and our own classrooms. When you have the opportunity to see other schools, even just taking like a visual inventory is an amazing process. You know, you get to see like what's on the walls in their hallway. What do their classrooms look like? What types of, you know, teacher resources do they have? And, you know, although like so many elements of NYP are embedded throughout the building, you know, you see projects on the walls that echo the learner profile. You see those pieces of mindset, having a certain particular mindset in the classroom. But at the same time, when we visited these classrooms, the kids are kids. You know, so when you go and, you know, visit other schools, sometimes, you know, like Mr. Bolger is saying, it's like looking into the mirror. You know, and other times, it's at the same time, it's like stepping through the looking glass. You're in a very similar world, and yet in subtle ways here, you know, a very different world. And, you know, when I was trying to digest all this, I'm thinking of myself as a parent, as a teacher, as an administrator, and I'm thinking about curriculum, I'm thinking about teachers, I'm thinking about professional development, and my mind is going, I'm taking crazy notes, and then it all stops, because all you need to do is listen to what the kids say, and it all comes together. And, you know, there were a handful of students there, and the vocabulary they used, the level of vocabulary, their level of understanding was so impressive, you know, and they're, you know, ranging from 6 through 8. And I had to ask the coordinator, because they sounded like upper-level students to me. And I had to know, like, you know, did you pull all these from your upper-level classes, your honors classes? And she said no. She's like, that kid's, you know, like an average 75, 80. You know, so there was a range of students there. So, you know, the way that they implemented this program with diligence, with patience, very methodically, was just very obvious. When we talk about outcomes, the way those, and we talk about assessments, the way those students spoke, the way they could interact with a room full of strangers was the most impressive outcome. And that, to me, speaks volumes. You know, we have these, I walk through the halls of our schools and I see these elements in our classrooms and our teachers. And, you know, what I really took away as an administrator and as a teacher from that, you know, from visiting them and speaking with the professionals there and students there, is that it gave them an opportunity to focus on, I think someone else up here said it, being interconnected with each other and beyond their own educational community to the larger educational community. And it gave them an opportunity and an ongoing opportunity to focus on rigor, growth, and achievement for all levels of learners. So, you know, I'm very excited as, you know, our team continues to explore this program and, you know, see what their next update is going to be. So.
I think the theme for us, too, is that it's subtle shifts. You know, one teacher that went, sent a text message,
yes,
and that changed his lesson plan that night for the next day based on something that he saw. Not because it's something that he couldn't do before, but it was a shift in what he already had. He didn't need to delete the whole lesson plan and start from scratch. But subtle shifts in what we're already doing, because there are great things happening, can really create great results. And I think that's something that we saw at Long Beach.
Mrs. Bates, just one second. I got to go.
Yes,
with our staff,
please.
Because I was on the curriculum committee. And first of all, our staff was, for me, listening to the questions that our staff was asked, they were asking, really gave me a sense that we're moving, we're understanding what this process is, we're into it, we're asking questions to really clarify in their heads and our heads what this whole NYP thing is. I also just felt like the students, Mrs. Ngoli has said, the students, listening to them speak, their relationship with each other, their understanding, like, we're working in a group, well, we're all together, and, you know, questions were like, well, how do you work with the kid who doesn't necessarily do all the work? And that's something that I think, you know, kids deal with all the time. They said, no, we trust that they're going to do that because it's part of who we are. They're not going to let us down. We're not going to let them down. And it's created, it's already, the kids have already learned that, and I think that that's an awesome thing for students to have. The other thing that I really liked about this program is it's not like you have to have day one everybody doing everything. It's
right.
Gradual. And I think so much of what we've been doing in education kind of is like, here, do this, do this. And our staff and teachers in general have lost some of the, wait a minute, this is who I am. And this doesn't work for me, mm-hmm. what you were saying, and this program really allows for tweaks and thought, and it's a process. It's not an overnight thing. So the kids can get used to it, so the students, parents can get used to it, so the teachers can get used to it, and I think that really is what makes the program great.
And in a lot of ways, I think it would work better at center, because I teach the entire 8th grade social studies. I am the department in that sense. And so if I kind of started to develop my lessons at NYP, the entire 8th grade
social studies department
is being NYP. And so you're not going to have classes where kids are getting and kids aren't, you know. So that's a benefit.
Mr. Bolger, I'm going to pick on this off for a second. He came in to me yesterday morning, the morning before. I want to do an NYP lesson. Let's get the lesson plan. Let's do it. So we're already like...
Well, it's great because I already do
excited.
Them.
You know, we already do them. Just shifts.
Yeah, now I can just say, okay, I already do these great activities. Now let's just take some of these rubrics that we're going to go over and like tweak them the way you present the rubric prior to the lesson, which is key. And then just the vocabulary you use so the kids, like, connects the dots for the kids.
Okay, one other piece. In your folders, you'll see the Ivy Learner profile. Mrs. Hrachowski, Mrs. Bolle, and I have been meeting frequently regarding middle years program, and one of the pieces that we're implementing now is we're going to take each of the middle school faculty meetings for the remainder of the school year and beyond, hopefully, and focus on one specific concrete piece of the middle years program and just spend the whole time focused on one piece. And this was this month, the learner profile was where we began. It's really the foundation, what we've learned from the conferences and the people that we've spoken to so far. So learner profile really is the foundation before all else. Clearly it should be. These are the 10 words. The board has some descriptions below it, but you know, really focusing on that character piece first sets the foundation for the collaboration that Mrs. Rayburn was speaking of. So,
do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, just a little bit. We kind of planned our faculty meeting out purposefully, and we decided, you know, as Ms. Gates said, that we were going to focus on these 10 traits. And the teachers walked in, and we had them do turning talk, and we had them kind of share their words that they thought applied to them. And I think it was a really great faculty meeting. I walked away, you know, very excited for our next step. But me personally, I said, all right, I want to use these words. I want to integrate these words in my classroom. How am I going to do this? After going to Long Beach, it is everywhere. It's kind of subtly permeated throughout the building. And I said, all right, how am I going to do this? I need to kind of model for everyone else what I'm going to be doing. So I said, you know, maybe I'll just let it happen organically. You know, they said they use it in their code of conduct. They use it in their letters home to parents. So so I just let it kind of experiment in my own classroom. So day one, 9th period, a student makes a very, very obnoxious, annoying noise in the classroom. My normal response to this would be one of three things. One, the death glare. Two, knock it off. Three, kidding me. Yeah. Instead, I purposely went over to the student. I said, listen. I said, when you make a noise like that, you are not being caring to the other students around you, and you are distracting, you know, them and us from all of the work that we have to do today. And I was like, all right, let's see what happens with this. So the student kind of like jumped a little bit and sat back in the chair and looked at me and they said, oh, I'm really sorry. And I was like, okay, good. So then, and that's now for the rest of the period. And the student positively participated. I was like, that was just weirdly, and I went into Ms. Gates and I said, it was weirdly effective. What am I going to do tomorrow? So, you know, every day I'm trying to think of how am I going to use this. So I use balance, I use reflective. So the next day, a student participated in class, and the student had a remark about what we're doing, made a comment, and another student said something not so nice about the student participating. So I stopped the entire class, and I said, listen. I said, when we participate in class, we're really being risk takers. And we want to, you know, as risk takers, we're learning. And we want to feel like we're in a caring environment where people are listening to us. So I waited. And they all looked at me. And they were like, okay. And I was blown away. And I'm not saying this is the magic cure, the magical, you know, whatever. But it was a subtle shift that was weirdly effective. And I want to see what tomorrow brings. I'll keep you posted. But it's that shift in mindset that really, you know, brings that success, which kind of brings us to our next outcome of our faculty meeting. we all spoke before and we said, oh, we're going to all read a book about mindset, about the growth mindset by Carol Dweck. And we were all joking at first. We're like, oh, maybe there'll only be the three of us in our little collegial circle. But we were very, very pleasantly surprised. We have about 20 teachers that have signed up to be in our collegial circle, and they're all really excited. You know, one teacher said, oh, I'm a student too. I want to learn. I'm really excited. And we're really getting a lot of positive feedback. And one of the things from Boston, you know, always the question is, why are we starting in the middle school? And the director of the Americas says, start with your critical masses. And I think in the middle school, we have a really positive faculty that's really on board, and they're all really excited to kind of take this journey with us.
I think it was at Long Beach, or it was in the faculty meeting with the other teachers who did not go to Long Beach, where one teacher said, like, haven't we tried these character traits before? Like these kids are in middle school, like, it's not going to work. And, like, they're too old, like, it's babyish. And my response to that was, I was in the military. I was 20 years old, and they hit me with the 7 Army values, character traits. And, you know, I was in the military with, like, 18-year-olds to 30-year-olds. And at first, we were like, this is stupid. We're young adults. This is not, like, this isn't going to stick. And they drilled it in our head, the consistency of everything we did to, like, oh, you took 2 ketchup packets when you were only supposed to take 1. You have no integrity. And, like, everything came back to the words that, like, a month in, it was like that. And that's like they call it brainwashing in the military. But that's where it was like they were changing us to start to realize about these character traits. And I'm like, if they can, now the military, you sleep there, they drill in your head, but it's the whole environment. Like, if they could do that to 20-year-olds, and a sixth grader comes into Center Richards Middle School, and it's on the wall, it's in science, it's in math, it's in English, they go to seventh grade, it's there again, it will stick. And that's what we want. You want them to at least understand what the necessary ingredients are to be successful. Because all the time we say, oh, you need to study, but they lose how. And I feel like that's kind of how.
This is just what we have coming up. As you can see, on Friday we're flying. Well, it starts on Saturday, but we're flying out to Los Angeles. We are registered. We have couple teachers going to Chicago in February, and then we have some of our math teachers going to Minneapolis in April. So we have a lot of exciting opportunities coming up that we will be back to share with you. Next time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brings us to the next section of the agenda. If anyone has any questions regarding tonight's agenda only, if you can come up to the microphone and just state your name before asking your question, and just keep in mind that we're recording. Anyone? Okay. Next section of the agenda is a motion to adopt the minutes of the regular meeting of December 16th, 2015. Motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, Board of Education, appoints the following individuals as substitutes for the 2015-2016 school year as follows.
Motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
The district recently advertised for candidates to fill various teaching and support staff vacancies for 2015-2016. Candidates were interviewed by committees, building principals, and or the superintendent. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, Board of Education approves the following appointments.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following salary move on the salary schedule effective 9/1/15.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following contract in accordance with the terms and conditions of that contract, as well as at the established cost contained in said contract, and authorizes the president to sign said contract.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Recommended action upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the budget transfers.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the treasurer's report for the month of November 2015.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Question. I'm sorry.
Why is the state aid less than we produce, Carol?
State aid is less. There are some things right now that they're estimating. The transportation aid is less, so that had a major impact.
And why would it be less?
Because we are spending less. As far as the contracts, we're monitoring contracts. The cost of living, the CPI, was lower this year. So that all factors into it. Okay. They're all estimates.
Yes, I realize. And then the tuition, though, I'm glad to see that we tuition. Underestimated.
Yes.
And
yes.
That has an increase.
Yes.
All of those. And is that just due to more students?
It's due to the tuition rate and number of students. Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. So let's go through it again.
All in favor?
Motion passed unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the student activity treasurer's report for the middle school and the high school for the month of November 2015.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
And sorry, I had a question on
that one too.
I've
been in high school, right?
Yes.
During class?
No, the interact. They have a higher. I was just wondering, like some of the others, the yearbook, they have a hefty amount right now, but they have a big bills that come up. But for the interact, I just don't remember seeing as large a balance in their account and what they had done, what they're going to spend on the $18,046.
What I could do is I could look into it for you and come up with that.
Okay. And it's not precluding me from, approving this, but it was just very rarely do we have questions on the clubs, but every once in a while it's good to just know why and make sure. So I had a question on the just what they were going to spend that on. They have a good, hefty balance.
Okay. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
The Board of Education has appointed an independent claims auditor to review bills and authorize the processing of payment during the period between Board of Education meetings. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education accepts the report by the independent claims auditor for the month of December 2015 and authorizes payment of the monthly bills listed on warrants for the month of December 2015. As audited by the independent claims auditor as follows.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion passed unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the 2016-2017 budget development calendar.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion passed unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the transfer of funds from the employee benefit accrued liability reserve for the payment of final settlements for the retiree and increases the budget accordingly.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion passed unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the payment of final settlements for the retiree as an employer non-election contribution under 403B regulations in lieu of a direct payment in payroll effective January 13th, 2016.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion passed unanimously.
Recommended action that upon recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the following individual for the 2015-2016 Health and Wellness Committee, Michelle Primus.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion passed unanimously.
Recommended action that upon recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education conducts a second reading of the following policy.
3230 public complaints. You
have one more pass
at this point. Correct. So I'll do anything at this point. You can pass it through. Motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion passed unanimously. So this brings us to the questions and comments from the community for items that are not related to or related to any topic, not related to this meeting. Again, just approach the mic, state your name, and just keep in mind you're being recorded.
Good evening. For those who don't know me, I'm Maria Manzetti. My daughter, Kristen, is a junior. She's in 11th grade in high school. Last night, I was at a play meeting for parents, for the cast of the students that will be in the play. And I was kind of taken back because we were talking about budgets and money and where money comes from to put on this play. And not to my knowledge, now it is to my knowledge, there is no budget in the school whatsoever for putting on the play every year for Santa Richard's High School. The kids were asked to basically put in $35 or so each to help offset the cost of putting on this play. They put countless hours of time. My daughter, for one, is taking off many days of work after school to be able to participate in this play. You know, I know we have so many talented athletes, but we do have many talented drama and chorus people in our school too. And just to put on this play, to have the rights to put on the play, it costs $3,000. We do use the money from year to year to put on the next play, you know, the following year, but it really doesn't need, you know, seem to be enough. What I'm requesting and asking to you to recommend is that we can at least have maybe put in the budget up to $3,000 every year to just at least cover the rights. The rights are under Santa Richard School District, and it would offset the cost. I mean, a lot of parents, they put in a lot of time and energy, their own time, money, to be able to put on this play. It's for the school, it's for the community. We need costumes, we have sets, we feed the children, we give them water. There's a lot going, you know, into this. And I'm just requesting that maybe we could put in the budget, not just this year, but from every year, at least $3,000 or more, whatever we might be able to find or squeeze in, to be able to at least offset the cost to be able to help put on, you know, a better play and have just an easier time every year to be able to pull this off. Thank you very much.
Do we have
no
line item
for the advisor? Correct me if I'm wrong, Carol. We do for the advisor, but I do not think there's a supply code.
It's only advisor and business manager.
Right.
And those are budgeted.
No, the light, well, light and sound, the advisor, choreographer, people.
I know that people that are hired, you know, Ms. Harkin, you know, they have salaries to be able to, you know, teach and you know, pull this play together with the kids. But, you know, it costs approximately $8,000 to $10,000 to do this whole play a year. $3,000, up to $3,000, I believe, I was told, is what it costs just for Santa Richard's to get the rights to do this particular play. This year it's going to be Mary Poppins. It's the first week of March. The kids are doing an unbelievable job. I mean, it's going to be a spectacular play. But just, you know, my factor is just the cost every year and what even, you know, I'm asked and my child is, you know, asked to do every year to be able to, you know, pull this off. I mean, the kids enjoy this, but kind of take it back because we need money for this, we need money for that. And, you know, it just really adds up after a while that I'm just, you know, I do understand that there is cost budget that goes into the play for people that are, you know, teaching them and putting on the play, but for the extra cost, the sets and the costumes and, you know, the rights to have it, that's where we're not getting money from.
And do they fundraise?
Excuse me?
Do they fundraise?
We do have a fundraiser coming up in Applebee's the end of the month, but it's very small. It's a pancake breakfast for 2 hours at Applebee's. I believe it's January 31st. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, it's a fundraiser, but we don't really get that much money from it. I know we're having a 50-50.
And what about the tickets? I think there are ticket sales?
There are ticket sales, yes.
That's what supports the next year, as you stated.
Exactly.
The ticket sales from this year.
This year supports next year.
Support next year.
But really, we don't have enough money every year to be able to do that.
Gotcha. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Hi. I'm Sharon Pinkney. And those of you don't know, I do the fourth grade presentation along with the middle school and the high school that we just performed. My question is about a budget as well. I've been doing the presentations for years, and before the budget had came in, I worked with Mrs. McInerney in fourth grade, and me and her started talking and discussing things about the budget and how it's being ran. Unfortunately, I don't know the details how it's being ran because, like I said at the last meeting, it's lack of communication once again. And this year, fourth grade presentation, we had somebody to do storytelling, but that person did not get paid. I did try to contact Ms. Navis about the situation. I do have a copy that she had gave me, and the money just wasn't dispersed properly. Mm-hmm. So a red flag had came up, and this is why I want to know what's going on and who's in charge of what and what is the breakdown. She did say she had, after the high school presentation, that she will set up a meeting with me. But before the presentation, I asked her for the budget. I think that week before, and no response. I still have my text. I don't give her anything, you know. And right. I'm not throwing anybody under the bus. Just that I would like to know these questions, and I don't want to happen again to somebody else later on down the line when I'm not doing it. Somebody else is doing it. So you get back to me on.
Yeah, but just correct me if I'm wrong. Just want to make sure if there's and Carol, you can correct me if I'm wrong. We have, I believe, a state contract.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the state contract is between the school district and the state and the Uncompahgre Nation.
Right.
And I believe within that contract kind of delineates where each line item and where the money goes. Am I correct mm-hmm. in that? So maybe I can just, we can get you a copy of the state contract?
Well,
so
you don't have an approved state contract.
Well, right, but the past one. We were talking about the past so far because it just happened.
It just happened,
which was great,
yes.
By the way. It was,
thank you.
It was an unbelievable event.
So there are funds in our state contract
exactly.
to pay for.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Like we had recently. Yeah.
Like the Balsies Arts and Education Budget.
Correct. We had most recently, like the, I think some of the books were transcribed on the tape. In the Uncompahgre language,
correct.
And a gentleman was paid, I forget how much, but it was under a certain
correct.
Portion of that.
And the past performances this year.
Yeah, this is why I started asking questions, because of past performances. They have like four different rooms, and I'm talking about the fourth grade presentation, the four rooms is stationed as, I think, the wampum, the storytelling, the artifacts, and the dancings in the food category. Well, out of those five classes, two of them are together, but the ones that were stationed at their classroom stations, one of them didn't get paid. So that was a red flag for me. Like, if you're going to disperse money out, disperse it out properly, you know?
Right, right.
And this is why I want to know, like, what's going on with the budget and so forth like that, so it won't happen the next time. Okay?
So we'll follow up on that. Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions? Okay, so dates to remember. The next board meeting will be on January 27th at 7:30 p.m. in the boardroom. And so, Yes. Motion to adjourn to executive session for purposes of discussing matters regarding proposed pending or current litigation, collective negotiations under the Taylor Law with the CMPA, medical, financial, or credit history of any person or corporation, or matters leading to appointment, promotion, demotion, discipline, or termination of a particular person or corporation, or other matters of disclosure which would result in unwarranted invasion of personal privacy. Motion?
Motion.
Second? All in favor?
Yes.
Motion passing unanimously. Good night.
Thanks, everybody, for coming out on a cold night.